Cycle. Welcome to the 1 o'clock no sour haha funny hour. No sour happy fun time haha power hour. Welcome to the no sour fun time haha power hour.
Ooh, she did it.
I got it.
I think she's got it. By George, she's got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour. I think I'm getting it. It's Thursday, March 2nd. We're here to have some fun. We got 1 hour left of our show today before we hand it off to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian and march towards the weekend on Friday. And so we have a great hour. I'm so excited because I've been wanting to talk about this. We're going to talk about it at 1:30. But I was in the like heyday of American Girl dolls being at like the status symbol. And now they have a historical doll that would have been born after me.
Does that freak you out?
A little bit. So we're going to talk about that at 1:30. But to start off the hour, our guest, Steven Buza, is the event director for Milwaukee's 82nd annual sports show, which starts next week, March 9th through the 12th. Steven Buza, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I am not a collector of American Girl dolls, but maybe I should start.
There you go. Are you a collector of anything?
Well, you know, my daughters were collectors of American Girl dolls. I'm a collector of sports stuff, so the Milwaukee Sports Show is a great place for me to be.
Got it. All right, well, for those of us who are kind of novices, Jane said, despite all of her 40 years of radio, she's never gone to this event. I've never gone to this event, but it feels like a big deal, and it's also been around for 82 years. And so what is the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Sports Show?
Well, first off, shame on both of you for not coming. So I personally invite both of you to come as many days as you want. You come and you ask for me, and I will give you the VIP tour on top of that. How's that?
Perfect. I sign us up.
This is what I love about the show, is the history and the heritage of the show, meaning your grandfather took you, your dad took you, and now you're taking your son or your daughter. And to me, you know, that shows the passion and the value of the show to the people of Milwaukee. And I'm just very humble that I get to be the one that puts on the show this year. So I'm excited about that. There are things at the show that have been there for quite a few years, but they're mainstays or staples at the show, such as the Trout Pond or Dan Small or the Daniel Boone Air Rifle Contest. So, you know, I'm happy that some of those things are still back and we have some tricks up our sleeve for this coming year.
So this is the longest running outdoor recreation show in the nation, right?
Yes, it is.
That is wild. I did not know. Like, and I mean, yes. I guess it makes sense because Wisconsin is such an outdoorsy place. There is so much hunting and fishing and everything. But like, this is all going on almost 100 years. And so what did you say are the staples? Is the Lumberjacks also a staple?
Yeah, the Lumberjacks are there. They've been there quite a few years. But the Trout Pond's probably, you know, one of the staples of the show, meaning, you know, I hear from a lot of people, hey, I caught my first fish there, and now I'm bringing my kids back to catch their first fish. So, you know, I guess as long as the show's around, the Trout Pond will probably be there.
So what is,
and also, is you know, the Trout Pond, is the Lumberjacks are coming back.
So is the Trout Pond different than the 5,000-gallon aquarium?
Well, yes, it is, actually.
Okay.
The 5,000-gallon aquarium is, by the real terms, called a hog trough. And what that is I have many high-end anglers and professional anglers at that presenting and demonstrating on the hog trough. And so they stand on top of it. It is literally in a human aquarium filled with fish from Wisconsin, and they show you different techniques of casting or the different lures they use for how to do things. Most of the professionals take their hooks off of their lines because they don't want to catch any fish inside the hog trough. It's really cool. It's eye-catching. It's kind of a showstopper. And it was there last year, and I'm happy it's going to be back again this year.
Steven, who knew that there were that many tricks to casting? I thought you just kind of went whoosh.
Yeah, well, that's me too. So I hear you.
So then what are, so actually you could maybe solve this for us, Stephen. At the beginning of the show, we were talking about lumberjacks. Now, is being a lumberjack a job or a hobby?
You know, that's a great question, but from the people I watch do this and the company I hire to do it, it's a job.
Okay.
You know, and I think it's a pretty tough job at that, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, it was a lot of back muscles go into that, apparently.
Well, so, and you know what they'll do at the show this year is they're going to climb the pole, you know, a speed race. They're going to saw. We do have the log rolling again. I did eliminate the chainsaws because of the noise. So we're cutting down on the noise for some of the exhibitors. But to get a full experience of what it would be to be a lumberjack, this is a great place to come see.
Well, and the log rolling has just got to be one of the most popular things to watch them do.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. It's really cool to watch, actually.
And so what are some of the things that are going to be brand new this year that people who are regulars can look forward to for seeing for the first time?
Sure, sure. One thing I've done is I've added another stage. It's called the outdoor stage. And one thing that was really important that I thought the show was lacking was diversity. And so I have a lot of female presenters on hunting because I know men aren't the only ones that hunt and fish. And I also am very proud to announce we're bringing in Eva Shockey, considered by some people one of the best hunters in the world. She's only one of two women that ever been on the cover of Outdoor Magazine. The other was Queen Elizabeth in 1976. So Eva will be at the show making two appearances, both Saturday and Sunday. And I know most of your outdoors folks know who Eva is, so I won't have to go into that. The other piece is, you know, I know there was a very sad story, a fallen officer in Milwaukee, shot in the line of duty. And I have a lady who's doing, you know, how to protect your home. That really doesn't have anything to do with outdoor, but I think it fits in nicely with the show and what's going on in Milwaukee. So I'm very happy she's up for doing this. So you can see how I'm trying to implement women more into this show, including A Girl and a Gun. It's an organization, a national organization, that really supports and teaches women how to use firearms the proper way. So all these things will be at the show, and I'm excited about having them.
Our guest is Stephen Buza, who's the event director of the Milwaukee Sports Show, which is happening next week, March 9th through the 12th at Wisconsin State Fair Park. And so how long have you been the event director for this?
For this? This is my first year.
Oh, wow.
But the company I work for. Yeah, how about that? I was at the show last year, but this is my first year being the event director in Milwaukee. I do other consumer shows from the event director across the United States. And so I've fallen in love with this show. I've taken a crash course over the last 11 months of this show, and I am ready to get there and get this show on the road.
Absolutely. So this is the first time you're doing the show. Are you yourself an outdoors? Would you consider yourself an outdoorsman?
Well, unfortunately, if walking your dog and playing golf is an outdoorsman, yes.
See, this is where Jane and I are at.
No, but you know what? That's a great question, because here's how I like to answer that to a lot of people. I say no, but that's why I have the experts there,
mm-hmm.
right? That's why I have these people that are all experts in that field, because I don't have to be. I direct them to them.
Absolutely. And so one of the other things that caught my eye as far as one of the events that I feel like I would be as a dog lover. So is the fastest retriever contest exactly what it sounds like as far as a dog going to retrieve something and coming back as quickly as it can?
Yeah, super cool. Super cool with that. What it is, it's open registration to anybody in Milwaukee, and they can bring their dog. And it's a simple task or a simple course of, I'm going to say, every inch of a 40-yard sprint to one end and back. And we time that, and we have very nice prizes. And it was a big success last year because, quite frankly, run as fast as some of those dogs ran. You know, they were doing it up and back in less than 7 seconds. And literally the first time you see it, you go, wow. You know?
That's
cool. It's really cool, too.
Yeah, I bet that's amazing to watch. There must also be occasionally a lab who will go, ooh, what's over there?
Well, we had that a little bit last year. But you know what? They're dogs, right? They're dogs.
They are dogs.
You know, you get a squirrel moment every once in a while.
So then I guess what else can, like, so, because what I read is that this is great for people who are either like both, like, the whole scale. So people who are hardcore, they look forward to this every year. They're going to get the newest gear. They're going to find new tricks. But then also for people, like, who are novices who just want to come check it out. Like, so there's something for everyone, right?
Wow, you really read up on this.
I do my homework.
This year. I'm going to get you to the show. One thing I do want to let your listeners know about is we have this nonprofit organization, and it's called Learn to Fish with Us. And what it is, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's kids. No, it's not kids. Because, you know, sometimes people retire or seniors or even somebody like me, you can join this organization and they'll teach you how to fish.
Oh.
And I'm excited to have them. They're going to promote their nonprofit, Learn to Fish with Us. And what's really neat is after you go through his seminar and or Alec Tom presentations, because no, you know, seminars sound like you're back in school. If you go to a presentation, like he's giving away some rods and reels to guests. So we have a lot of giveaways. Also on the other spectrum of being like a novice or whatever is what I mentioned. Most of these people are experts. They don't expect you to be the best turkey hunter in the world. That's why they're there. They'll teach you the tricks of the trade, how to become one. So please, if you do come, spend some time talking to some of these folks. A lot of them have show-only offers. So if you're in the line of a boat or even a gun, you know, look at the opportunities. There's opportunities there if that's up your sleeve.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Jane, are you going to go with me?
I will absolutely go just to see the lumberjacks.
Just to see the lumberjacks. Absolutely. All right. So it, if I'm getting this right, it's $12 at the door, $10 in advance for adults.
Yes.
And they can get their tickets where?
Yeah. JSBSportsShow.com.
Perfect. Anything else you want people to know? Otherwise, we can link all of that to our website as well.
Yes. One other piece. We do have a special for veterans and military. And we have a special for Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. They're admitted free on Sundays. And we have a seniors on Thursday. So please go to the website. I think you'll see all those and something's going to fit your fancy. Let me repeat that. It's jssportsshow.com.
jssportsshow.com. All right, Stephen Buza, event director. I hope this all goes off without a hitch for you. This sounds very fun. I'm really excited to come check it out. I'll come find you when I'm there, but thanks for joining us today.
Yes, please find me, and I do want to get you tickets, so please, on my behalf, I invite both of you.
All right, sounds good. We'll take you up on it. All right, stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Four for gold. Boy, ask a whistle punk. I don't know.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Jane Matinair, do you think when we get our free tickets
yes.
to go to Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports show,
yeah.
we're going to run into Joel Clayfish?
We should. we had such a great chat with him.
We had a great chat with him. Yeah. Joel Clayfish, if you are not familiar, has a show on the Civic Media Network called Raised in Wisco.
Yep.
It's all about the outdoor provider lifestyle. And he came in, when was that? Back in October?
It was a while back.
And that's another thing that's, he said, I will take you hunting. I got to get my license. I think maybe next year we'll go because it was like, I have too much going on to try to get that done.
Sure. Well, we want to go along in the, I want to watch the turkeys.
Yes. I don't really want to shoot deer.
We don't have to shoot.
We don't have to shoot deer. But everything Stephen was describing about the sports show, I just kept thinking of what Joel was talking about and like, the enthusiasm for all of those things, but it actually sounds really fun.
It does. It sounds
like a ball.
I probably
won't spend any money. Like, there's nothing there that I'm necessarily going to buy. Well, I should never say never.
Don't say that. There might be something tempting.
But yeah, so March 9th through the 12th at the Wisconsin State Fairgrounds. Maybe we'll see you there. But so dictionary.com.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if dictionary.com is like, where does that fall on the credibility scale next to like a Webster's?
That's a very good question. As far as being a legitimate dictionary?
Yeah, because reading this article made me think it's kind of like it's a little bit closer to Urban Dictionary than Webster's.
It's a hipper dictionary.
So dictionary.com came out with their winter words of 2023.
Ooh.
Because they are, I guess, consistently looking at the zeitgeist, the environment, the world that we live in, and revising, editing, adding new words to dictionary.com. And so they're lexicographers. I think that's it's like lexicon without the
con.
The con. Like so lexicographers. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll run it by Greg Bach.
Yeah, Greg Bach will know.
He's the wordsmith.
So they come out, I guess, multiple times throughout the year with new words. And so I thought I'd run some of them by you.
All right.
All right. Where did I just put it? Cakeage.
Spell, please.
C-A-K-E-A-G-E. Cakeage. Kind of like boobage. Except not the definition, but like the
spelling.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take a stab at it. Is it another word for a cupcake?
No.
No.
It's the fee charged by a restaurant for serving a cake brought in from the outside. It's modeled after corkage, the term for the fee charged. But isn't it called a corkage fee?
I believe so.
So wouldn't it be a cakeage fee? I feel like if I said cakeage fee, you would have had a better...
That would have helped.
You would have guessed it.
That would have helped.
All right, next one. Cyber flashing.
The first picture that jumps into my head is Brett Favre.
That's pretty close. It's pretty close.
Is it?
The act of sending unsolicited, unwanted, sexually explicit images or videos online.
All right, I am vindicated.
All right. A digital nomad. I think I've heard this one before.
Hmm. Well, you are searching for something. Or you have no digital home?
Yeah, someone who works remotely while traveling, especially one who has no fixed permanent address. My brother started saying that because he has no fixed permanent address at the moment. And he just started telling people at my wedding that he lives in the cloud.
Oh, jeez.
And so.
Okay.
Yeah. He said that I think some of my high school friends were like, your brother just told me he lives in the cloud. what does that mean?
Exactly. What does that mean?
Hellscape. It's not really a new word.
No, that's not a new word.
But it's become more popular in recent years. It means a place or time that is hopeless or unbearable. I don't know why that one was...
They're trying to give themselves a freebie on that one.
This one's pretty obvious, but I didn't know that people are actually using it. A nearlywed.
You're engaged, but you never get married?
Yeah. Based on newlyweds, someone who recently married this person who lives with someone in a life partnership... with a person possibly engaged with no wedding planned.
Well, no wedding date.
Yeah. Nearly wed. rage farming.
Fox News.
Yeah. Intentionally provoking political opponents, usually by posting something on social media in order to get an angry response.
Speaking of anger and Fox News, I listened to Charlie Sykes.
His Bulwark
podcast? His Bulwark podcast where he interviewed...
Wait, you listened to a podcast?
I did. Yesterday, I know.
How did you even know where to find them?
Because it was on my Twitter feed.
Wow. All right. Now we got to get you loaded up.
But he interviewed Paul Ryan, who mentioned the word angertainment.
I like that.
Which I thought was pretty good and pretty accurate.
Was it a good interview? I know you and Carol talked about that as far as...
It was interesting.
Yeah.
I personally would have pushed a whole lot harder, but that's just me.
That's just you.
Yeah.
Anger, what did you say? Angertainment.
Angertainment. It's a business model.
And it works. I mean, even just the rage farming stuff on TikTok and social media of saying something to purposefully create people to go into the comments section and tell you that you're wrong. And it's not even always a political statement. It's sometimes if you just... spell something wrong or purposefully get something wrong that then people with their lack of self-control will feel compelled to go into the comment section and tell you why it's wrong, even though you knew you did it on purpose because you knew people. They're so easy to figure out that she would just do it.
Well, and don't ever post that red grapes are better than green grapes, because that's going to spark a whole world war.
Is that a big controversy? I didn't know.
Let's post it and find out.
Let's post it and find out. Twitter, here we come. All right, when we come back, the new American Girl dolls. They're twins, and they're born in 1990. Kill me now. Welcome back to Ask Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And when you were growing up, were you a doll person?
I was a doll person.
What were you? Was it Barbie or was it different kinds of dolls?
It was pretty much Barbie.
Okay.
There was a Chrissy doll that I recall.
A Chrissy doll?
It was a Chrissy doll. Now listen, this was pretty cool.
Okay.
The Chrissy doll had where her belly button would be. There was a button, and so if you push the button, you could pull the ponytail out of her head and give her long, flowy hair, and then you could push it in and then push the ponytail back in so she had shorter hair. This was highly developed for 1966. You look less than impressed.
Well, it's funny to me always when they come up with dolls like that. Like, I remember, I think, I'm pretty sure I got a doll at some point that, like, went to the bathroom.
Oh, well...
Like Betsy, you fed it like
Betsy Wetsy?
Kind of. It wasn't quite a Betsy Wetsy. I feel like it was chunkier than that. It was more than just water. And I don't know what it was, but I feel like some of the random things are like, this is a great idea for a doll.
Kids are going to love this.
And they do. And then it's, you think you grow up, you're like, that was kind of weird. But what was never weird and still isn't weird, I don't think, except that it's catching up with us, is American Girl dolls. Now, they were... very expensive.
Yes.
And they had lots of very expensive accessories. But if you, and they, it started from Wisconsin.
Yep.
Pleasant Roland from Wisconsin, and created as an alternative to Barbies. And I had a variety of them. I was very lucky. I think my mom still has them stored somewhere safely.
What did they cost per doll?
I want to say they were like 70 or 80.
Oh!
Or like, and so the, it was very well documented. Kristen, you will not be cutting this doll's hair.
Ah!
I think I did, but whenever I got one of those dolls, my mom was like, do not take their hair out of how they come.
Which is like, so if it's in braids or,
it's in braids,
or something
or
like
it's
that.
Like a, I think Samantha came with like a half up do and her bangs, and Molly was in braids. I forgot what Addie was in, but you know, it's. And because it's never going to, you're never going to be able to look at, make it look as nice as when it first comes out of the packaging.
Of course.
But that's like, that's the point of a doll that you're going to play with.
Is playing with it. Yep.
But, you know, for those of us millennial girls, especially, and I think they still are a big deal, but like certainly in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, American Girl dolls were a big deal. It was like a, I don't think we thought of it as a status symbol, but like.
It was. Because I just did a Google search and they said now they're about $100.
Yeah.
For a toy.
And there's an entire like Disneyland play, like Disneyland experience almost, as far as I think there's one in Chicago, LA, New York, like where you can go. Because now Mattel owns it, which is the real irony of it all, is that Pleasant Roland started it as an alternative to Barbie and then sold the company to Mattel.
Which makes Barbies. So you take your doll to this thing?
Yeah, you take your doll. I've actually never been to one. I've been outside of one, but I've never had, like, you have a tea, like you have, like, a tea party, and, like, you have a tea time. I think there's different rooms. There's different, you know, it's all there to have an experience, but also buy stuff.
Exactly.
So I remember when, you know, it was always the historical girls. Then they came out with, like, the Bitty Babies or whatever. But then when I was... 9 or 10, there was the you, like, that you could make yourself. Like, you could basically, and, like, it was still the same exact same mold
template
for the face.
Sure.
But you could change the hair color and you could change the eye color. So I was a blonde kid, so I had a blonde one with brown eyes that was basically Kirsten but Kirsten had blue eyes. And so, but it was supposed to be me. And then like, and it came up with like all the accessories you could play with, like the modern girl were modern things. Well, now that same replica is basically a historical doll.
Really?
It's become
an antique.
Basically. So this last week, American Girl introduced two new dolls to their historical collection, Isabel and Nikki, who hail from the olden historical year of 1999.
Oh, the struggles.
And they live in Seattle. And I'm not so fragile with my age that I'm like, oh my God. Because like the one prior to this was 1986, which was the year I was born.
Oh, wow.
But some of the accessories they've given is so spot on that it's like, oh man, I forgot about those things. Because that was like, and it's almost, for me, it takes away some of the magic. Because I think American Girl dolls got me into history.
Actual history.
Actual history of like learning about Addie and then learning a little bit, you know, very sanitized version of the Civil War. Mm-hmm. Learning about World War II. And I think like I had an affinity for World War II at home culture for some reason. I don't know. Maybe it was like a combo of like League of Their Own, Molly, and those stories, and like Rosie the Riveter and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that time period was always really interesting to me. And you know, and the pieces that and the accessories you got were supposed to replicate kind of historical things. And so it is this. It just doesn't necessarily feel like history yet. And so here's some of the here's some of the accessories that you can buy to go along with your twin 1999 9-year-old. So these are girls who are supposed, because they're all 9 years old, were born in like 1990.
All right.
So Isabel and Nikki come with their very own historical Y2K accurate accessories, like a desktop computer.
A desktop.
That comes complete with dial-up and looks like AOL.
Oh, that's great.
And it has a little AIM chat thing on it. And a cordless landline phone. So clearly Nikki and Isabel some money.
I was going to say. Kind of upper crust.
I mean, yeah, like the invention, because that was really, the cordless phone was really 90s.
Yeah.
And because I think I was a kid and all the phone, it was like a big deal once we got cordless phones. And then to this day, there's the yelling of, where's the phone? It's dead. Because you forgot to put it back on the
charger.
Receiver.
Yes.
But some of the other, they have an inflatable chair.
What were those called?
I think they were just an inflatable chair, but I definitely had one. I had an inflatable chair, but I also had a, remember Papasan chairs?
Yes, the big
wicker
ones.
Things and like one big cushion.
Yep.
And if you tried, sometimes if you tried to get out of it, it was a disaster. And you would just like fall on top of yourself and then the piece, because it wasn't connected, so then the big round dome part would just fall on you. Certainly both of those, an inflatable, I'm pretty sure somewhere in high school I bought it from like Spencer's.
That sounds about right.
And I had an inflatable chair. What they don't have, but I had, was a lava lamp.
Which
is really more 70s, but I think they made a comeback in the 90s.
They make a comeback like every 25 years, because I can remember in the 70s, that was super cool. A lava lamp. Super, super cool.
And are they super cool just because you'd get stoned and it's something to watch?
Well, not when I was 12.
No. Yeah, me either.
But
I'm not being sarcastic. I'm being genuine.
But it was, at least for the time, it was pretty space age. You know, in the 60s and early 70s, it was a lot about space. And we had space food sticks and other things that astronauts were ostensibly eating. And so that was a big cultural
thing. Dippin' Dots, the ice cream of the future.
Yes.
I think in certain places they still think that's the ice cream of the future, even though it's been around for 30 years.
But you can still get Dippin' Dots.
They're not bad. They're just not the future.
Ice cream.
Speaking of future ice cream, we'll cover this another day. Ben and Jerry's and different ice cream companies are trying to create ice cream that freezes at a higher temperature to accommodate more energy efficient freezers. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
So that actually is ice cream of the future.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, that's a tangent. Anyways, going back to the accessories, they also have a, of course, a CD portable Walkman.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm. I guess if it was in the, a little bit later, they would have had an MP3 player.
And a little bit earlier, she would have had a Gigundo boombox.
Yes.
On her shoulder.
Yes. Then there is a Tamagotchi.
I know what this is, but remind me.
So Tamagotchis, I had one. I think the longest I ever kept it alive was like 5 days. But it was a keychain, and it was probably the size, like the width of a silver dollar.
Okay.
But it's like thick. It's obviously thicker. And it was just like a little toy computer, and you had to keep and. It was a little creature that lived inside there that you fed and you had to keep it alive. So basically it was like you paying attention, like enough attention to it. And I can't remember what else you could do with it, but they were super popular. And I'm pretty sure Mike and my sister-in-law have some standing feud because she was supposed to take care of his Tamagotchi when he was doing something. And I think she killed it.
Oh, dear.
And he still has not let it go.
And so... Really, when it went dead, that was it. And then you had...
Then you started a new one.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't like the toy wasn't over. It was just, you had to start it. It was like, it was just the consistency of trying to keep this little digital
thing
live. And it's basically the same technology of like when you played Snake on your Nokia phone, of that kind of like gray screen with a black outline. And it wasn't like a lot of detail that you could...
Not the graphics we have now.
No, not at all.
No.
But then this is so meta. One of the other things you can get as an accessory for your 1999 American Girl doll is an American Girl catalog.
Well, that's some clever marketing.
But I had one. I remember getting the American Girl catalog and flipping through it. And almost always it was exactly the same. It wasn't like fashion catalogs like JCPenney's where it's like, oh, here is the new season for the fall and the new styles. So there is new merchandise to look at. It literally was basically just because it was the same six girls or whatever. And I'm pretty sure it was also like the same picture. So I don't even know what was because at one point I think it turned into American Girl magazine. And then there was actually like articles you could read. But the catalog never changed. And so the fact that you would like get the catalog and you'd look forward to it. And I can't even remember what subtle changes would be is like, why am I looking at the exact same thing I looked at last month?
Nothing new here.
And so I'm not so offended by it. The people on Twitter had a heyday as far as feeling attacked that this was considered a historical doll. But like, when was the first moment for you of like a time in your life now becoming quote unquote history that you're like, what?
I'm so old that it's just, I mean, no, you know, actually, and this is relatively recently and I hang on to things for a really long time.
Okay.
And I have long sleeve t-shirts that I have got at events in 1994.
You still own them.
And I still sleep in them.
I bet they're pretty comfortable.
They are very comfortable, but
very
I look at that and it's like 1994. I'm as old as dirt now.
You're not as old as dirt.
Oh, soil.
But as far as you can't remember a time when you're like, oh, that is considered
ancient history.
Yeah.
Well, even albums I have,
yeah,
you know, things like that.
I guess when we were talking about yesterday with the Pink Floyd anniversary,
right?
That being 50 years.
And our next bumper music, by the way, today is also another special musical anniversary.
Am I going to guess based on the music?
It's a clip from a short. Some would call it a documentary. Others might call it a mockumentary.
All right.
Leave you with that.
All right. Well, we will get to the bumper music, and then when we come back, we will wrap up today's show. We still got about 8 minutes left before we hand it off. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
About with it for a few months now. Very delicate.
It's a bit of a departure from the kind of thing you normally play.
Yeah, well, it's part of a trilogy, really, a musical trilogy that I'm doing in D minor, which I always find is really the saddest of all keys, really. I don't know why, but it makes people weep instantly to play a... It's a horn part. Just simple lines intertwining, you know, very much like I'm really influenced by Mozart and Bach, and it's sort of in between though. It's really, it's like a Mach piece, really. It's,
what do you call this?
Well, this piece is called Lick My Love Pump.
Is that Spinal Tap?
That is.
Oh, I got it.
Well done. This is Spinal Tap, the mockumentary by Rob Reiner, released on this date 39 years ago.
Wow.
In 1984, and it remains one of my favorite movies of all time.
Is it?
Yes.
Are you? Yes. Do you like the Christopher Guest and all of the mockumentaries?
Yes.
Straight-laced?
I just love Christopher Guest so much, yeah. And Harry Shearer, and Rob Reiner, and the whole film is just, it's a classic, and it will never not be funny to me.
I wonder if Mike's seen it. Maybe we'll watch it tonight. It's been a while since I've seen that, but it's like the accents and the music. It's like, I'm pretty sure this is reaching back into the cobwebs of my mind.
You did well.
Nailed it.
Nice. Yeah, nicely done.
You know what I didn't realize? Christopher Guest is married to Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, for a long time.
I just saw something. I recently came across a video of her talking about, she saw him in like a magazine and she just said, I'm going to marry that person. She had never met him. And I think through her agent, she got his information and somehow reached out to him, and he didn't respond. And so then somehow they were at the same restaurant or something, and they just kind of started making eyes at each other and giving like a head nod.
Hey, how you
and
doing?
And within 4 months, they were married.
Wow. I actually ticked her off once.
Really? Let's hear that story.
Yeah, we had her on, and she had done a really bold magazine piece about the glam squads that actresses have to make them look the way they look when they're on the red carpet. So she did a photo shoot when she's been all done up, and then she did a photo shoot in a sports bra and some, you know, short leggings with no touch-ups, no nothing. It was at the time, it was really very brave of her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really impressed by that. So we're interviewing her. And just quickly, I said, oh, and Jamie Lee, I just want to say how much I love your husband, Christopher Guest. And she said, yeah, I do too. Okay, we're not going to be talking about that then.
It did not land well.
It did not land well. And so we went back to, because it was about her. And, yeah. You know, it should have been all about her. But so that's my, I ticked off Jamie Lee Curtis story.
I mean, was it fine?
It was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like now, I hear her interview now, and I feel like she's grown into, and maybe she was always like this, but seeing her interviews now, especially because she's had a lot of press with Everything Everywhere All at Once, mm-hmm. of like, no filter. Just. Says what she thinks. Is very honest about herself. Like, I think she called herself out on like an assumption she had, and I can't remember which actress it was. Oh, I think it was Ana de Armas, who's a Cuban actress. And she admitted this in an interview of how she had to scold herself because her first assumption when she got cast in the same movie, I don't even know what, it might have been Knives Out. And she kind of had this assumption about how good her English was going to be and some things that, and she, in her words, she was like, really racist things that I didn't, like, I had, she had, like, and she was talking about kind of how you have to unwire your brain of how we have these biases and the way that your brain just kind of categorizes people before you meet them. And so, like, the interviews I've heard her give, she's very no filter as far as just, like, very joyful, very honest. There was also, she recently, I guess during the BAFTAs, one of the actresses did some kind of rap. It was the actress who won for as playing Anita in West Side Story. I'm blanking on her name. But she did some rap that was, like, a little cringy. And someone asked Jamie Lee Curtis about the rap, and she just on the red carpet was like, everyone should F off and mind their own effing business and leave her alone. I think she was great.
All
was like,
right, girl.
Good for you.
Tell him.
And so.
And her husband is a sir.
He's been knighted?
He is Sir Christopher Guest because of his British lineage.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Going back to our last segment,
okay.
I just wanted to share this text I got from my sister, Suzanne. We were talking about American Girl dolls and mm-hmm. how they're out now with the newest historical American Girl doll, which
1999.
Sister Suzanne says, I'm listening to you guys talk about American Girl dolls. The Chicago American Girl store is three stories high. They have a beauty salon for the dolls. And I still love going to that store to this day.
There you go.
Make it an event.
You know what? If Nike Town gets three stories, so does American Girl dolls. I remember the first time we ever went to Nike Town in Chicago, and it had like the indoor basketball court and just shoes everywhere. And it was this like crazy new thing of like, ooh, Nike Town. And I liked sports, so it was cool. But if the sports kids get that.
Yeah.
The doll girls get a three-story American Girl doll store.
I have no problem with that.
Fight me.
Yeah. Bring it on.
All
Bring
right.
It on.
Well, that will do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow for a Friday. Joe Zepecki is going to be here for the whole hour. We're getting an update from East Palestine, from John Russell. We'll
really
be back.
Looking
yeah.
forward to that.
He's been busy.
Yeah, I bet he has.
He's been very busy. And so I'm really excited to hear what he has to say as far as developments there. But as always, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. Stick around for Dueling Tangents and come back tomorrow at 11 when we'll do it all again. Thank you. I'm home. Love you.